Hey everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Rhythm in Rome with Benef, myself, Paul, and Trisha, where we talk about and discuss our travel adventures and explore cultural differences, similarities, misconceptions, and all those craziness that falls in between. Okay, we're going to change it up a little bit today. You know, you guys have seen a couple of episodes of us already, and this time we're wanting to do kind of like more of an origin. You know, it's been a few episodes, like I said, and this origin story is going to be about us, where, you know, we each have a travel experience that has made us fall in love with traveling and exploring. So today we're sharing our travel origin stories, you know, the things that made us more savvy, want to explore the world a bit more and have, you know, more adventures. So I don't know who's going to start, but I'm just going to pick somebody to just start this adventurous and kind of give a little bit more of, you know, your travel experience. And I'm going to go around what makes more sense. I don't know, because both we all have great stories. So, Benef, why don't you just do it?
I knew you were going to call me. The bee. Right. So my origin story. So basically, this will be the first time that I traveled alone as an adult. Because before that, you know, I traveled with my parents, but like this was the first time traveling alone. After I graduated West Point, we had 90 days of free vacation. So my friend and I decided we were going to backpack through Europe. That was like the cool thing to do. And we had chosen Italy and England or UK as places to go. So we took a Mac flight over. Like she handled all of this. I couldn't even tell you how we did it, but we went from like Dover Air Force Base to Naples, Italy. And that flight was actually fine. No issues. And Italy was, I mean, the island of Capri. I don't know how to pronounce
Capri.
It. Capri. It was beautiful, like amazing. It was just amazing. And then we went to Rome. So this was where things got a little bit strange. Okay. So we're tired. It's like really flipping hot and we're sticky. And, you know, we are trying to find this youth hostel and there was no GPS, right? So we're like, we have like paper maps and we're like trying to navigate the streets of Rome. You would think we'd land navigation would be one of our strengths being in the army, but you know, whatever. We didn't find the one we were looking for. We found a different one. We're like, fine, we're tired. It's like 10 o'clock at night. Fuck this. We're just going to stay here. And so we do, and they give us the, you know, the room we pay, but it was like a room with like 12 bunk beds. And I was like,
a hostel.
And it was a youth hostel. Yeah. A room with 12 bunk beds. It's co-ed. And I was like, well, this is okay. Whatever.
West Point so all over in. Again.
I know. And so the only bunks available were like the top bunks. So we drop our stuff and we're like, we just feel nasty. We're going to go shower. And so like everything was co-ed, but thankfully the showers at least had some privacy. So we feeling better. We come back, and then I was going to like put on a tank top and then I can't find it. Like I'm searching my backpack. I mean, I had literally like had been there that morning. It wasn't there. Well, it turns out we found out later that those assholes had already rifled through our bags because that being the naive cadets, graduates, we had left our shit unsecured and just went to the bathroom. Like, we're like, nobody a cadet will not lie, cheat, or steal, tolerate those who do. And so we just assumed like the rest of the world operated with this honor code. Mm-mm. And they don't. So that shit was gone. They had taken two of my tank tops, two of my friend's shirts, and a credit card from each. So of course I didn't find out about the credit card until I called home and my parents were like, yeah, they called. And because it's like the 90s, there's no instant notification of anything. It wasn't until like the last night that things got shitty. So there's like 12 people in the room. It's dark. Everyone's asleep.
But wait, did you not talk to any of these people beforehand? Like, did you introduce yourself or?
Well, no, but
where were they from? Where were they all from?
I don't flip it. No, it's a good point. Like, that's a good point. I don't actually know because I only remember the French Canadian guy. Mm-hmm. This guy was like 6 feet tall, big ass dude. And that's the one that was sleeping on the bottom bunk.
And it's interesting, it's men and women.
The one that was sleeping? Was he sleeping like directly under you, or how does that work? Okay,
underneath me. So
I'm shocked that it's men and women, and it was no hanky panky.
Well, there were people doing things or like making out or whatever, but I didn't ever see anyone like screwing. So that was good.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the last night, like I'm trying to sleep, lights are out. And the bunk starts like moving, like it's like rocking, and
yes,
like what is wrong? Because it goes on for like several minutes, and I'm like, can this guy just not get comfortable? Because like, I felt like he was like tossing and turning. Is he just not able to go to sleep? And so like finally, I like peek over, and I was like, this guy was completely butt ass naked with his dick in his hand, just going to town on himself. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, imagine, like right now, like who I am today is not who I was.
Oh, nice.
Like,
wait, was he drunk?
I don't know. Wait a minute. I didn't fucking talk to him.
I mean, he was naked with 11 other people in this room.
Yes.
He just didn't give a shit.
No, I mean,
he just knew he had a need, and he was gonna fill it that night.
Assumed everybody was asleep,
and he's not.
Yeah, and it was a big guy. And, yeah, well, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, and so I was like terrified because I didn't want him to know that I was awake. I mean, now granted,
no kidding.
It's probably why he did it, Benef, because of what you just said.
Oh wow! It was awful. So it went on, and I was just like, I don't want to move. And then finally he stopped, went to the bathroom. I'm like, thank you.
Well, he had to go to the bathroom to clean up, you know.
This is over.
Even right now.
I'm giving you the man version. I'm giving you the soft.
Okay, well, thank you.
Version,
so then he came back, and I'm like, okay, finally I could sleep. But that motherfucker started up again.
Whoa! What the hell kind of places do you go, Benef?
Well,
and this is why you like to travel?
No, this is how you don't be so damn naive. The West Point is coming out of freaking West Point. Oh my god, wait a minute.
Okay, all right, double it back. How old were you?
21.
And this was the first time you had ever traveled internationally, other than outside of the military.
Well, by yourself. I hadn't traveled in the military at all yet because I was just graduated. So I had been to France before with my high school French class. And
okay,
we saw
totally in the bubble, protected.
But we did see the topless beaches, you know, people just everything hanging out.
Okay. But this was by yourself.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So
welcome to the world.
Oh my gosh. We were like, and I can't, because like that never had even, it's not like West Pointers or Saints or anything, but I just hadn't ever experienced anything like that. And so the next morning, I mean, and I can't do the French accent. You'll probably have to do it because he was like, how did you sleep?
Oh, so he was French. He was French.
Yeah, French Canadian. Yes.
Ooh,
and
la.
I was like,
oh, la, la.
Fine. And then he goes, I slept sound. And I was like,
I think
oh
he liked
God.
You, Benef. That's what it
no, was.
And he wanted to
awful.
Show you his jewel.
Stop.
So you can be surprised.
Okay.
So wait, so did you guys hang out afterwards? And did
stop,
you at least see
stop.
Rome? I don't
have
know.
To get a drink of wine.
People want,
well, we did.
You know,
yes, yeah, so we did.
Inquiring
like
minds want to know.
We did. So in Rome, yeah, we saw a lot of really cool things. We went from Rome to Venice. But I told my friend, I'm like, we are never staying at a youth hostel again. We will stay in some place with a room that locks. Like, we weren't going through that shit again. Because, well, she slept through the whole thing. I was the one that happened to be awake. You know?
I'm surprised you even traveled again after this.
I'm surprised you didn't even put any video together.
Oh my God. No, we didn't have video. Oh my God. No. But I mean, so that was weird, right? I do
Can you
have
imagine if
really...
TikTok was around back then.
Oh God. This is why I'm a proponent for all the, it's like this did happen back then. You know, our kids today, our kids, they don't think we ever did anything. It's because we don't have proof.
It was snail mail. That's why.
Thank God we don't have proof. Thank
God.
I don't want that ridiculous shit on social media. Yeah, destroy the evidence.
No kidding. No kidding.
That was
bizarre. That's a hell of an origin story.
But other than that, so what is your, you know, do's and don'ts on this for your first experience of traveling?
Well, don't leave your stuff unsecure. Like, come on now. That was just
that's like number one
basic stuff.
What made you think
know.
That you could trust people like that? Is it because you
were we had grown 4 years. We'd been in the bubble of where we don't lock our doors, and they have locked now, I think. But yeah.
So the key is then, did you at least have a great first experience in Rome?
Rome was hot and sticky and dirty. We felt better. Like, Venice was better, but once we finally got to England, I felt like I could breathe because it wasn't as hot. Like, it was so hot.
So you went from hot to like rainy.
What time of the year did you go?
It was summer, so it would have been June. Mm. Maybe
that time.
Hell of an origin story.
I think the highlight is obviously you guys having the roommates in the hostel kind of thing. Okay, so Trisha, can you one up what Benef just gave as a story? I can't even say it with a straight face.
Probably not. We're gonna try. Mine is a little bit more innocent. I really kind of fell in love with traveling, and I guess that kind of gave me the travel bug. Is I was an avid reader when I was younger, and I used to read 2 and 3 books a day, believe it or not. And sometimes I wouldn't sleep because I was reading all the time. I was an only child, so books, TV, television, all those wonderful things were kind of my babysitter. I was a latchkey kid, so I was alone a lot. So yeah, I did a lot of reading. So I always disappeared and travel was in books. And I got to bring my traveling to life. And this is why my favorite aunt in the whole world, we used to call her, it's my Aunt Alma, but her nickname was Aunt Mita. You know, we always used to call her Aunt Mita. She was a school teacher in Belize. That's where my family's from. And it was actually my first trip to Belize. I was about 12 years old, and I traveled previous to this because I actually lived in Belize for 4 years when I was smaller. Oh, wow. I actually lived with her. I lived almost 3 years in Belize when my parents got divorced. My mom was getting set up again as a single mom, and so I lived actually in Belize with my great grandmother for almost 3 years. I had gone, she actually took us on a backpacking trip, if you will, to Mexico. Nice. So Belize is located, it's very close to Mexico. It's orders Mexico, right? So we took a trip from Belize. We took a coach bus, believe it or not, and we had backpacks. And we took a bus from Belize City, is where my family is, and we took it up through Chetumal, and we actually went into Cancun.
Oh, nice!
And this is like new Cancun. This is like unspoiled Cancun, not the touristy thing that you see here today.
What year is this, by the way? I'm sorry. What year?
Oh gosh, this must have been 1985.
Oh Lord.
86,
okay.
Maybe.
Oh, wow.
This is early times, right? So when we went to Cancun, we stayed in Cancun, I guess maybe for a week, which is unheard of when you think about it back then, because it was myself, my cousin Stephanie. She was also from New York, and she was a little bit older. I was the youngest. And then my twin cousins, Jules and Julie and Jill. And so it was the four girls and my Aunt Mita. And if you knew her, she was a small stature, but she was everything to me. I loved her. And she always used to wear these. Why I love clogs to this day is because she always wore clogs. And she had these.
But she had the original, which was wood.
She had the original clogs, and they were like this high because she was so short. Man. And so, and it was so great because it was like my first pair of heels I ever wore because she used to give us turns in her heels around the living room. So yeah, just really sweet memories I have of that. But anyway, when we were in Chetumal, we stayed overnight before we went to straight on to Cancun, and that borders Belize. And I remember the night we stayed overnight because the bus was actually not going to be going to Cancun into the next day. So we had to stay in Chetumal that night. The only thing that my aunt could afford for us to stay in is we stayed in a room that did not have a, had no windows.
Oh,
all it had, it was an inner room and it had the openings because it was a cement building. So all it had were the slits for the, you know, for the hallway. So it was open, but the door was locked, but it had no actual windows and it just had the beds around the room. And I shared a bed with my other cousin. So that's where we slept overnight. But here's the really cool thing. When you walked out of the hotel, you could go upstairs to the roof and you had the whole world because there was all these stars. Yeah. It was such a cool thing.
That is cool. Especially at the age. What was your age?
Yeah. What was the age?
I was 12. Yeah. I was 11. Wow. Yeah, I was 11 or 12 at the time. So it was the coolest thing. So yeah. So that was also the summer that I learned to swim.
Oh, nice.
It was really cool. And we stayed at a hotel and then we ended up staying a night in Isla Mujeres, which is, you know, the island that's just off of Cancun there. And at the time it was unspoiled, it's untouched. Now it's littered with hotels, but the only thing that was on that island
was nature and stuff like this.
Yes. Just completely nature reserve. It was nothing but sand dunes. It was clear, the straight beach and just clear water. The only hotel was the El Presidente. That's it. Nothing else. And you could see straight down in the water, just walk out to the beach. So pristine Cancun, that was my very first trip. And from then on, I've had wanderlust to travel.
Especially back to
Belize now, and like redone that
trip. I have. And believe it or not, that was not my last trip because if I remember correctly, that was the same year also. I believe that trip, she also treated us to a week. It used to be an island. It's not anymore in Belize because now there's a bridge that you can reach to it. But they've now since, built a bridge, but you used to have to go over in a boat. In Belize, you call it a dory because a dory is a small boat. And luggage, everything, you used to have to go in this thing. And so it was four of us, our luggage. We went to Placencia is what it's called, Placencia, Belize. And you could walk the island in 20 minutes. And again, untouched. Now it's built up a little bit more, but it only had one restaurant and it was called Jackie's. And Jackie used to specially make burgers for us because she knew that we were American.
Yeah.
She used to make burgers for us. And my aunt had a friend, because remember she taught at the school. And so there was an American friend that had a house out there and that's where we stayed for the week. We stayed at a beach house and it was right on the water and you can just walk right out there and we swam.
That sounds amazing.
And there was a Rastafarian that lived on the beach that was right there. And he used to talk to us and hang out with us on the beach. When I tell you, we swam from sunup till sundown on that beach. That was the first time that I realized that Black people could get a sunburn.
Yeah,
we got the melon.
Yep.
We melon.
And that was the actually, and I do remember this too. That was the first. That was actually the summer that I read Mommy Dearest.
Nice.
That's 12. But yeah, that was my first trip.
Nice. No, that's awesome. And in the fact of the matter, you were able to do it when you were young. So let me tell you my origin a little bit. Is nowhere near as Benef's, but I'm going to give it a shot. But my first travel alone would be when I was working in the government or when I was an officer in the military. And I was stationed in Germany. And I decided to, you know, I knew I wanted to go somewhere. And then a friend of mine who was also stationed with me, we decided to go running with the bulls. And if you guys don't know, Running with the Bulls, you know, in Pamplona, Spain.
Yeah.
Wow. And I never did it before. I don't know what made me say yes to it, but like, I was
dangerous.
But I didn't know. I just remember seeing it one time on ESPN and a whole bunch of bulls running. I didn't know what to expect, but it was probably one of the most fascinating, exciting trips I've ever done, because clearly I end up continuing to do it because I did it three more times after
you,
that.
So you actually ran? Like you were in the streets?
I actually ran.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember you posting something about that.
Yeah. If you're going to do
it. Isn't it scary though? Like, it is,
but I was not an idiot where I'm going very close to the bulls. And if the bulls are coming, you can jump onto, like, you know, people's buildings.
I've seen people trying to climb to get out the way.
Yeah, you just climb out of the way.
But I would also be worried about being trampled by other people, though.
That's the stupid people that don't want to move out of the bull's way, because the bull don't want to hurt you. They just want to run after the cows into the, you know, wherever they're running to, and that's it. And I know somebody that's, you know, probably, you know, PETA related is probably going to hate me for this, but I loved it and I went running with the bulls. But the fascinating part about it was, you know, when I got there, clearly when I first got there, the number one thing was, when we get there, we need to go do what the Spanish people do. What was that? Sangria. And I wanted to see, because what made Running with the Bulls famous was a Ernest Hemingway novel. And he used to go out there all the time too, as well. Yeah. So that fascinated me. And I was just like, okay, whatever, let's do that. Let's have some sangria. Before the bull run, you do like a festival called San Fermin. And what that is you're just having a big old community food fight with ketchup, mayonnaise, mustard, and flour. And you're literally just throwing it on each other. Don't ask me why we did it. It was just the most exciting and bizarre thing. But here's where it took a turn, because the next day was Running with the Bulls, and you have to dress up in the all white with the red and stuff like that, like you see everybody. And what happened was, you know, of course, you got to take photos and you want to take photos of this and stuff like this. And I end up, you know, was taking photos. Clearly, I don't speak Spanish the way they, you know, and I was told that you're not supposed to take photos of the bulls because the flash or whatever might cause them a reaction or something like this.
Yeah.
Stupid American of me taking photos, because I'm like, why would I miss this? You know, and FYI, Dennis Rodman was actually there. I saw him running with the bulls. Like, I was not too far from where he was.
Okay.
And I just thought it was hilarious. I'm not surprised by that. Right, right. I thought it was hilarious. So I was sitting there, I was taking photos, and so on, me and my friend, and then we end up meeting some other cool people who were actually from Canada too as well, but from Vancouver. And something about Canadians. And, you know, and to this day, I'm still friends with this person and stuff like this too as well. But where the story gets interesting is that while I was taking photos, me, you know, the Canadian, and I think it was an Australian or something like this, and my friend were taking photos, and then all of a sudden, the cops came. Oh. And the cops came and grabbed us and took us away. And, like, literally, when I say grab, we ain't talking about, like, they grabbed us and just, like, yanked us away and threw us in the paddy wagon. So I got arrested.
Oh, my gosh.
You got arrested.
I got arrested.
Because you're taking a photo?
Taking photos.
With flash?
We didn't know that that's the reason why we got arrested at first.
Because you and Dennis Rodman?
No. Me and my friends that I was with. And I'm just saying, we were taking
the
photos.
Four of you got arrested.
Before
clarification.
Yes.
That was for clarification.
No. Yep, that's fine. And I got arrested. And it was right before the bull run was going to happen. And mind you, I was just like, okay, what the hell's going on? They confiscated my camera and everything like this. And then next thing you know, we got to the police station. The bull run is supposed to happen like in an hour and a half or something like this. We got arrested prior to that. And we got to the police station. And I just remember there was other like people there that got arrested that were also, you know, tourists and stuff like this. And they were trying to figure out why, and they were talking Spanish to us and all this other stuff, and they were about to tell us, you know, charge us and put us in jail. And I was like scared because I'm like, okay, this doesn't look good as a government employee. And I'm gonna get like so, you know, in trouble right now. And then what, like all of a sudden all of our stuff was on a table. And then, you know, the cops were just talking to some other people, doing whatever they're doing. And then these Aussies, I just remember, they were like, I'm not staying here, mate. You know, I'm taking my shit. And then all of a sudden, we saw them just sneaking away and taking their shit and then just hauled ass. So I looked at my friend and we looked at each other and I'm just like, I just grabbed my shit. And then I just hauled ass and I just, because we just ran.
Oh my God.
Ran out of there like, so basically, I feel like I'm a fugitive in Spain. I don't know if I should say this, but this was years ago.
I got you like, on the wanted list.
We literally took our shit and we just hauled ass and ran. And the moral of the story is this, is that basically in Pamplona, and I'm going to say this because I was pissed that, A, they arrested us. And the reason why is because I felt like they were taking advantage of tourists.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, yes.
They wanted... Because all in order for us to get our stuff, we had to pay to get our camera back and good obviously point, a fee and point. Stuff like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I followed the same decision that the Australians that was in front of us did, where first of all, they were stupid to put all of the evidence on a table. Second thing they were doing was they were stupid conversating with everybody else and not looking at everybody that they arrested.
No, not like, even it.
Yeah, first of all, why
makes you think
we in
that,
a
yeah,
cell?
It was just them trying to get you guys
exactly
thinking and I was that like, you weren't going to leave. Because were there any signs that said don't take photos or anything? Like,
maybe, but I don't remember seeing it. They said that there were, but I just don't remember seeing it. Because you got to remember, the city of Pamplona
it's packed,
is small
it's
and it's extremely packed. And people are sleeping out on the streets.
Yeah.
So you're not going to really see that. And then people are wasted. So who's seeing signs that says whatever and you're wasted and all this other stuff?
Be in that Spanish jail. Shoot.
Right. And I was like, first of all, you didn't put us in a jail. You just took us to the police station. And, you know what? You didn't expect somebody going to run if you didn't put me in a jail. So
maybe they didn't. I don't know.
They probably, that's why I said, the moral of the story, they wanted money is what it is. And they would have gotten it because tourists were paying it because I saw people paying in order to get their shit back.
Those law-abiding citizens were paying.
But when I tell you my track skills came into play because I hauled ass away from my friend. I don't know where we were running to, but we were running.
That track scholarship came in handy.
Oh my God.
I was running my ass off. And then
on call run.
The minute, like, thank God we were able to get there just in time.
Did you see? Yeah. That's what I was wondering if you had seen.
Yes. We were able to get there. It was like 20 minutes before.
That's a heck of a story.
And we hauled ass and we were able to do it. And voila, everything was good.
That is cool. That is
and ever since then, I've been loving those type of adventures and
that's wild.
Going to
that's
wild. For sure
Goodness and stuff. So there you have it. Spanish or Spain? Don't look. That was back in 2003 or four. So I think there's a statute of limitation on it. So
I would imagine. You're okay. I'm sure.
No, but hey, look. These stories, you know, these are just one of many stories that we probably have. And eventually one of the things that we would like to do is to be able to share some of these and, you know, obviously some do's and don'ts with these stories or whatnot that will help out with folks that's doing it. I know with mine, I will definitely tell people if you've never run with the bulls before, I highly recommend it. I honestly, truly do because it was such an adrenaline rush that I wish that I can continuously keep doing it, but I got a back issue. I can't do that shit anymore.
Well, I ain't going to recommend no one to do
it. You're not going to recommend the hostel?
But do keep track of your shit, that's for sure. Don't leave your stuff unsecure. But I mean, absolutely, it would be fun to hear some of the listeners' stories, because I bet we can't be the only people that have crazy ass stories.
So like, anyone who's listening,
cute stories like mine, really cute stories.
Definitely.
Like mine.
Anyone who's listening out there right now.
Sentimental stories, I should say.
Please send us your recording or send us your comments on your stories. And we would love to be able to even share them on the site and stuff like this too as well. But just to wrap it up a little bit again, I thank you guys for listening. Thanks, Benef and Trisha, for sharing your wonderful stories. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of our Rhythm in Rome podcast. And I hope you guys continue to join with us. But always, always don't forget to subscribe. Click that button and subscribe. And tell us also what other things you would love to hear from us too as well along this journey. Until then, have a good night. Have a good day wherever you are in the world. And see you guys at another time.
Take care.